superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Barons win! Barons win!
Cody Jansen stopped 92 out of 95 shots, including a penalty shot in overtime. Somehow he still only wound up the third star of the game.
You like that?
Jansen has a heart.
Y'all smoking crack!
The Wednesday edition of World Hockey Report. It's Cody Jansen coming to you live from beautiful Alberta, where the Pro Rock broadcast studios. Let's fire it up. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts, the official auto parts retailer of Hockey Canada and Team Canada. If you're heading to the rink, Lord Co. is going to make sure you got everything you need for a smooth ride. From bright white headlight replacement bulbs for increased visibility during early morning or late night commutes to battery maintainers, they're going to make sure your vehicle starts when the temperature drops. Visit Lord Co. Auto Parts location today for knowledgeable service, quality parts, and accessories. Visit LordCo.com to find a store near you. And I got an email from Daniel the other day, but they got some big news coming out here. You got to check out that. It's coming. It's going to be in the Edmonton area. You don't want to miss it. Big show on tap for today. You guys already know what it is. Follow us on Twitter at WorldHockeyRPT. I'm there at Janner31 underscore, and we want you to join the conversation. So much to get to. If you got questions, ask them. Join them in the chat right now. Watch on 12 Ounce Sports Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, wherever you feel like watching, honestly. Jump in the chat. I want to know your thoughts on the Blackhawks situation. I want to know your thoughts on the PK Subban Slew Foot Fest that's going on. I want to know your thoughts on the Dumpster Fire Leafs. Everything is on the table if you join the conversation. Today on the show, at about, 12:40-ish, we'll get Matt Nafe on from the Sense Daniel. If you're a long-time World Hockey Report fan, everyone knows Nafe. He's the goalie guy, and we've got some hot takes, too. So we're going to get him on. Mario Tirabassi's coming on from Bleacher Nation Blackhawks. That's in about 15 minutes. But first, we'll snap it over to Ontario for the lonely Flyers fan in Canada. It's Zach Medeiros joining us here. Oilers, Flyers tonight. We are going to get to that. I also got a couple of Duncan Keith quotes from his media availability today. You guys don't want to miss that. That's coming up later on in the show, but let's snap it over to Zach right now. And actually, before we talk Flyers and Oilers, I got to get your thoughts on this whole Blackhawks fiasco. Did they get it right in your mind? Do you think Quenneville's going to be coaching tonight? Give me your thoughts. What's running through the mind?
Oh, man, I don't know. It's a pretty sticky situation. You know, there's not really much to say on it. It's a pretty personal matter at that. All I will say is that any coach, any upper management that was involved in that team that when it took place back in 2010 shouldn't be coaching or have any place in management in the NHL.
So there was some interesting comments, and I'm not here to call anyone a liar, but Duncan Keith did come out today and say that he had no clue of the incident until of like, I guess more recent, they kind of heard rumblings about why Brad had left the team and that he didn't really find out until the lawsuit. He still doesn't know who the players is. You've been a part of a team. I've been a part of a team. Do you think that that really kept quiet throughout the dressing room?
I think so. I mean, if you think about it, and, you know, obviously I never had to deal with any type of situation like this throughout my football career, thank goodness. I'll get that out of the way, first of all. But, I mean, when you're on a Stanley Cup run, just like I was on a great cup run back in 2016, all the outside noise, and I don't really want to call this outside noise, but obviously they had more important things to kind of worry about at that time, right? So I think management probably did a really good job just kind of sweeping this under the rug, because at the end of the day, they ended up being my Flyers at the end of the day in that 2010 Cup final. So I think the management probably did a really good job to keep that away from the players, just to keep any distraction of kind of getting in the locker room there. And then, like Stan Bowman said, I think he was made aware of it throughout the year, and he relied on whoever the hierarchy was at that time to kind of take care of it. And to his knowledge, I guess to this day, he thought it was taken care of in a appropriate manner, and it wasn't. And that's kind of on him too. Like, he was the GM at the time, and he needed to make sure that the right course of action was dealt with at that time, and it simply wasn't. So.
And it was interesting at not how long it took, because obviously there's such, you know, in-depth pieces that need to go in here. But I don't think that Stan should have ever started this season as the GM of this team with all of that going around. It's kind of like having Quenneville coach tonight in Florida. Like, his meeting with Gary Bettman's tomorrow, we can all assume how that's going to go. There's no need for him to be involved until this is settled. It's either you're cleared or you're not. This isn't just a gray zone game where we'll keep people employed because they've been around for a long time. I think the NHL really needs to put a fist down on this one.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? Sports is sports, obviously. But at the end of the day, there is that human factor and the people who are victims and involved in this. It obviously leave a very bad taste in their mouth that these guys knew about it the entire time and still had their ranking as a head coach or as a GM or whatever the case is and whoever was involved. So at the end of the day, it needs to be dealt with in an appropriate manner. And if they had any involvement in it or knew about it, they need to be dismissed immediately.
Okay, I got one last one for you. I know it's not a fun thing to talk about, but again, you were an athlete as well, so I do appreciate your opinion here. What do you do if it comes out that players were notified of this, players were keeping quiet? What do you do then? I'm not pointing the finger at anyone. I'm not going to name anyone, but if all of a sudden some leaders or players were aware of it and were a part of the group that kept it quiet, do you kick him out of the league? Do you suspend him? I mean, I don't like hypotheticals, but honestly, we got to question it at one point in time.
Oh man, that is a tough question. I mean, I hope for their sake that no one really knew much about it, if anything. And if they did, they should come out and just be transparent about the whole situation and then let the NHL, like Gary Bettman, do his thing after that, because who wants to be carrying a burden light like that with them forever, right? If I were to guess, I would probably say no one's probably going to come out, even if they do know something about it, which is completely wrong. But for honesty's sake, that's probably the way, that's the latter, right? As an athlete, you're probably not going to say much about it if you do know a little bit about the matter. Even though that's not the right thing to do, I think that's what's going to happen. And I wish there was more honesty along with it, but that's just my opinion on it.
Now over to a more enjoyable subject to talk about. Let's be real. I mean,
jeez, you came out of the gate there hot.
Well, I mean, come on. We got to talk about the stuff people do want to hear our opinion on. And we're going to get to your thoughts on Coach Q and everything. This is for the people watching. Join the conversation anytime, 12-ounce sports. Also, get your Oilers Flyers predictions in right now on YouTube. That's where we're live. You can comment Facebook as well. And we do have a game tonight, and it's going to be a good one. It's our teams facing off. You know, we're right here in oil country. You're a diehard Flyers fan, and they're going head-to-head for the first time in 2 years. Interesting lineup note. The Oilers are still splitting up McDavid and Draisaitl even at home. Now, this was something that Tippett thought maybe would work better on the road. Obviously, you don't have last change, but he's going to keep them apart. So, obviously, he liked what he saw from the team against Vegas and Arizona. Will be an interesting one. You have to assume Carter Hart gets the start, being a Sherwood Park kid, playing in Edmonton, getting to play in front of fans, all that fun stuff. A lot of pressure goes on him. What are you looking forward to watching here, Zach? And you got a prediction?
Yeah, I think the Flyers are going to win. I mean, if you're asking me, I'm going to be biased here, of course, but I think at the end of the day, and you're not going to agree with this, but Flyers have the overall better team. You know, I will say this, if they get in penalty trouble early on, I think I saw a stat the other day where Edmonton is off to a ridiculous start on the power play. I think they're clipping at like, 50% just about. So, I mean, the last game that they play against Florida, you know, the two unbeaten teams in the league right now, they're in the penalty box 7 times. And luckily, they're able to kill that penalty 6-0-7. But if they run into penalty trouble again, I'm thinking they're not going to have that kind of luck against the Oilers, especially with McDavid and Draisaitl on that top unit. So they got to stay out of penalty. They have to stay out of the box. That's just plain and simple. And take care of that first line. I think Ryan Ellis is back in the lineup tonight. So it's always nice getting your best D-man back. But Oilers, listen, they have a great team. I think they're off to a very fast start here. But it's the same Oilers as it was 2, 3, 4 years ago. You know, they have the best top two players in the world, but there's a reason why they've only been to the second round once since then.
So you're not convinced they're going to go 82-0 this season?
No. They're on pace, though.
Close, they are on pace. Yeah, that's all that matters. You're on pace until you're off pace. Okay, so let's talk Carter Hart here. This is a pretty big stage for him. This is not quite a make or break year, but you know how important this is. This is going to be his biggest pressure test yet. I would say arguably this is the most offensive team he's going to face potentially all season. How confident in him are you?
Yeah, I like Hart. You know what? Even the games that he lost, a few of those goals were pretty fluky. I mean, if you saw the highlights, hopefully you'd agree with me. He hasn't had much puck luck. And again, last game against Florida, I think that was his biggest test of the year against one of the probably contenders of this year's NHL, right? And I think he held up well, right? Obviously the defense and being without Ryan Ellis for a night, that was alarming and it stood out, right? But I think for the most part, he held his own. He played well. And again, getting Ellis back tonight's huge. And I expect nothing from the Flyers other than winning tonight. So Let's just get it done.
How crucial is it for the Flyers to not just stay afloat while Kevin Hayes is out of the lineup, but still succeed? Because if you're not coming, I mean, what's his timeline for coming back? Isn't he still month plus?
Yeah, he was supposed to be out. I think they were predicting the first 10 games of the year. So until then, they have Derek Brassard kind of filling in that second line role. And people could probably argue that that's been the best line for the Flyers with him, Farabee, and Atkinson on the wing there. So they look great. And I mean, listen, he doesn't have to play the entire year there, obviously, but having Derek Brassard as your second, probably when Hayes gets back as your third line center, I like their situation where it is. So they just need to keep it going and, you know, keep filling in that void until Hayes gets back healthy.
And we've been pretty open about ripping on the Leafs on this show. There's no, you know, no shocker to that to anyone who's listened to us before. Do you think this team could actually miss the playoffs, Zach?
I got to, you know, with how much talent they have in their roster, I got to figure at some point that they're going to start to put it all together. I mean, they have gone up to a slow start. Obviously, their power play, and I know that they got a new power play coach during the offseason, and they don't look good there. They don't look good defensively, but they didn't make that many changes. Other than Hyman, they didn't really have a significant loss to their lineup. Maybe him and Freddie Anderson too, but at the same time, I think him and Anderson and Mrazek is kind of a wash, and I know Mrazek's hurt, but it shouldn't be this bad. Like the way it's going right now, I think the Leafs should be better. And I got to figure at some point they're going to start to turn around. If they do keep up this pace and they keep losing some more, I expect Keith to be out. And if they somehow find their way, you know, on the outside looking in and don't make the playoffs, expect them to shake up this roster in the offseason.
Mike's in the chat and he says, screw the Flyers. They killed the Kraken. There you go. Rando jumps in and says, thoughts on what's happening with the Newfoundland Growlers? Sounds like the city of St. John has a death wish at this point. I only caught up briefly on that, Rando, and essentially it looked like they were mistreating staff or something, and so they kicked him out while they're doing an investigation, but the AHL team is going to let him play. That's messy. And again, these are in-season investigations. That's tough. It's a bold move to kick him out. You got to assume lawsuits are coming, like mid-season, to do that to a professional team. You must have some,
wow,
you know, pretty bold evidence or something. Again, Randall, if you got more information, if I'm off on this story, definitely just fire it into the conversation there. Also, Mike, yes, the Kraken are in the Oilers division and they're screwed. So, I mean, the Flyers, I'm not going to say it's a 9-1 game tonight, but Zach, does it really... I guess, would you be more intimidated if McDavid and Draisaitl are on a line together or on driving separate lines? If you're Philly right now, like, what would you rather see? You get a choice, one or the other.
I'd rather see them on separate lines. Are you kidding me? I don't want to see them on the first line together. That's a nightmare.
But yeah, you don't think you can pair up the top two guys? The top two guys in Philly. I don't know. Ellis is good. But, like, you don't think you can, like, pair up someone a little bit better?
On the Oilers?
No. Like, you don't think you can pair up two guys on the Flyers and say your job all night's just to stop these two? Like, instead of having to have two pairs go against them.
It's the same thing, right? You always, you know, their top line right now is Travis Konecny, Claude Giroux, and Sean Couturier, right? So I'd say Couturier and Drew are probably the top two guys every night. And if I had it my way, I try and split them up. But they're also not McDavid and Draisaitl. So they, you know what I mean? Not even close. So I think them together, honestly, they do a lot more damage. I can understand why they split them up, because the depth on their next three lines, it just isn't there other than RNH. But I mean, for me personally, them together is that makes me nervous, man. I don't want to see them on the same line.
I think having them split up is just as dangerous, if not more, because knowing how Draisaitl's improved, I mean, just these guys, they just get one little bit of puck luck and it's in the back of your net. They're that good. They're that deadly. Time will tell, though, on this. Rando hopped in the chat again, said City's been in a fight with the team all offseason. It's clearly dirty, a fight at this point. That's just, I mean, that's a terrible place. So, you know, you've seen it with all pro sports where there's just some locations that don't want them. And Mike says, thoughts on the Blackhawks scandal? Well, I guess we didn't talk about that enough at the start. But, Mike, I mean, you know, to keep it short and sweet here, I think it took too long, frankly. I don't think Stan should have been managing this team while under investigation. I think there was enough evidence out to the point. I'm glad they did a full-scale investigation. I am glad that you know, there's some names being held accountable. I still think more needs to be done. I think you got to dig a little bit deeper into Cheveldayoff. I think you got to dig a little deeper into Quenneville. And I'm not saying they have to be fired, but if this is true and if they've lied about what they know about the situation, then yeah, can their ass. Get them out of the league. We don't want them.
Yeah.
So Mike also says, the Panthers have a two-goalie system. Is that good? It's good for the regular season, but come playoffs, you really need a number one guy. Am I wrong there, Zach?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You need the solidified number one. And I think when we saw the Islanders team from 2-3 years ago when they had Greiss and Leonard in there back and forth, I think at some point it eventually caught up to them, right? Because it worked so well throughout the course of the regular season. But come playoff time, you're right. You need your bona fide starter.
So I'm going to leave you with this one, and it's an unfair comparison to have right now. But Zach, if you're starting a team tomorrow, you got your own expansion franchise in Hamilton. Who's your goalie? Who are you taking, Carter Hart or Spencer Knight?
Oh, man, why do you do this to me? You know who I'm going to choose.
I got to do it.
Come on.
I got to do it. It's a question.
It's Carter Hart. It's Carter Hart. I know him. I haven't really watched enough of Spencer Knight. I know he's a stud. I know he's a first-round pick of the Panthers, but I know what I'm getting with Carter Hart, and I know with the right pieces in front of him, he's going to be able to flourish.
There you go. Carter Hart over Spencer Knight. He's taking it. Panthers are going down, and they're not going to get past the Flyers in playoffs. They're going to meet up. It's going to be all Flyers. You heard it here first. Zach Medeiros, Grey Cup chap, joining us on World Hockey Report. We've got more Blackhawks talk coming right from the city of Chicago. It's Mario Taravassi coming on from Bleacher Nation. That's Zach Medeiros. I'm Cody Jans in World Hockey Report. Hey, Rando, if you're still in the chat, give us your SPHL power rankings. Let's hear it. Let's hear it from you. We got more Blackhawks talk next. It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co Auto Parts.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spengler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com and sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
NFL fans hungry for a big win this week? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Winner, winner, chicken dinner, it's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What we do here is go back.
It's World Hockey Report presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Visit Lord Co.'s in-store truck centers at select locations. Big things coming here in the Edmonton area with Lord Co. I don't know how much I can tell you, but it will be out, and you guys are going to be pumped. Pumped with that. All right, let's go to our next guest now. Obviously, I still got the Duncan Keith comments. We will get to those later on in the show. I'm telling you, you want to hear this. He talked to the media earlier today here in Edmonton, had some interesting things to say, but let's snap it down south. Mario Tirabassi joins us from Bleacher Nation. He covers the Blackhawks down there. Mario, first off, and tell me if I'm wrong here, because this is, you know, one of the drums I've been beating this morning, is do you think Stan Bowman should have been managing this team from the start of the season, or do you think he should have been placed on leave while they were getting investigated?
Yeah, I think he should. I don't think he should have been running the team while he's, you know, while he's being investigated like that. I don't think you let a guy who, you know, is so deeply involved in that investigation and in, you know, what they were looking into. I don't think you let him control the team, making the decisions he did throughout the off season, and especially too, to also give him or allow him to operate, you know, for Team USA for the Olympics coming up. It just really didn't sit well that he was running both of those programs basically at the same time while being investigated. It didn't make sense to me.
Do you think Coach Q coaches tonight down in Florida, or do you think they not grab common sense here, but sit him out?
I think the last I saw, he is going to, you know, he's expected to coach, and then he's going to talk with Gary Bettman tomorrow. So, I mean, I'm not shocked that that he's going to be allowed to coach this game tonight. And I don't think, you know, again, I don't think he should be. I think, you know, a lot of the people that are still working in hockey that are, you know, mentioned in the investigation and have been, you know, a big part of this whole story should, you know, especially now since the findings have been made public, I think, you know, they should be put on leave or outright fired, whatever it has to be, in reaction to what, you know, what the hockey world is dealing with right now with this story.
Mike Thompson, in the conversation here, has said NHL's mishandled this for sure. Randall gave his SBHL power rankings. We'll get to those a little bit later on, Randall. So when it comes down to former players speaking on this, Mario, like a Duncan Keith, who came out to the media today and said, I didn't have any knowledge of this until, you know, the season after. I didn't have, you know, more details till the actual lawsuit came out. Do you believe him? I mean, I don't need to put you on the hot seat here and make a decision in court, but like, do you believe that these players might have actually been left in the dark when it comes to what's actually or what was actually happening there?
You know, it depends on, you know, what kind of experiences you think, you know, the kind of culture of the locker room is like. You know, you hear things, you know, I didn't play at sports at high levels, but, you know, I've been in locker rooms and in, you know, the high school range, and, you know, you tell stories, you hear things and things get around. I think, you know, as in the professional ranks, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, in the investigation, I think it was reported that six players said that they testified that they didn't have any knowledge until the reports came out. And I think another six said that they hadn't heard about anything until after Aldrich was removed from the team following the conclusion of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, you know, it's I guess it's who you want to believe. You know, I find it hard to, especially with the you know, the incidents that are reported that, you know, this player, John Doe, was harassed during practice while with the Blackhawks. And then years later, you know, this incident, this rumor followed him to, you know, around for the rest of his career. And he was still being harassed about it a few years later. I find it very hard to believe that players had not heard, you know, even just, you know, hearsay rumor that something may have happened. So, you know, I find it, you know, hard to believe that, especially prominent players like Duncan Keith and Jonathan Toews. You know, he spoke this summer and said that he hadn't heard about any of these incidents or rumors until after Aldridge had left. You know, he was captain of that team. So I find it hard to believe that most of the players didn't know a little bit of something at the time.
MK80HD Hobson, the conversation here, says WFT scandal, Washington football team there, Blackhawks, NWSL. Is this a bigger problem in major sports sweeping stuff under the rug? Now, Mario, I mean, you work for Bleacher Nation. Obviously, you guys cover all sports there. Do you think this is a pro sports issue where winning, obviously, is taking a bigger priority than, say, human rights and, you know, real human issues here?
Yeah, I don't think this is exclusive to hockey. I think, you know, or sports. I think society as a whole has a hard, you know, has a hard time dealing with and discussing matters of sexual assault. And I think a lot of times, you know, trying to keep things quiet and keep things hush is the knee jerk reaction. You know, it's very hard in situations like that to, you know, in a lot of situations, it's the right thing is usually the more difficult thing. And in these cases, the right thing is the more honest thing. And a lot of times, you know, people's lives and jobs and money is on the line. So, you know, I think we have a lot of progress made in sports about, you know, talking about these kinds of issues, but a lot more has to be made. And so, no, I don't think it's obviously not the right way to manage these kinds of situations. You always want to, believe the victims and the survivors, and you always want to make sure that, you know, you follow through on any kind of allegation of this magnitude, and make sure that, you know, things are, you get the full story before moving on and saying, oh, you know, well, especially in the Blackhawks case, where it was like, oh, we'll handle it. You know, it seems like everyone in the front office kind of passed the blame down the line, saying, oh, I told so and so, so I figured they would figure it out. You know, even Stan Bowman, in his statement that he released after resigning from the team, said that, you know, he had told John McDonough at the time and figured that John McDonough was going to take care of it. You know, at some point, I think we have to get beyond the, oh, I told so-and-so and figured it would be handled. You know, if you're involved in it and you want to be able to follow through with it, as far as making sure things are taken care of the way they need to be. So, I know it's a roundabout answer, but I think there has been progress made, but it's still obviously a major issue. And I think hopefully this case can be, a silver lining, can be an example of how not to do things, and how organizations can be better moving forward.
Yeah, there's definitely a step, you know, something's got to flip around here. Mario Tiraboschi, my guest from Bleacher Nation, Mike's in the chat, says, it reminds me of billionaire politicians hanging with Harvey Weinstein. All this money, it's scary what's actually hidden for us. Does this jeopardize the Chicago Cubs? The architect of those teams. Bowman was the architect of those teams per ESPN. Well, I mean, I don't think you can take the cup away from anyone. I think Aldrich's name's got to come off the cup. That's number one for sure. But also, this one's sliding across my desk right now. Shout out to producer Bryce. The Tampa Bay Lightning say Nikita Kucherov is going to be out 8 to 10 weeks after undergoing unspecified lower body procedure today. 8 to 10 weeks for Kucherov, not on LTI to the end of playoffs. Now, Mario, I got two more for you, and they're about the actual team right now. Let's talk hockey, because the Blackhawks have been a dumpster fire on the ice as well. And I want to get your 6-game assessment of Seth Jones here. Obviously, it's a rough start. It can't get much worse than this. Do you still see some potential here? Are you pissed off about the move, or do you think they got a chance to turn this thing around on the ice?
I mean, there's a lot of new faces with the Blackhawks trying to find their footing to start the season, and Seth Jones is obviously one of them. You know, the defensive rotation is seeing some turnover from last year to this year, and you know, guys getting used to each other, and you know, communication on the ice. I think that's one thing that is still in progress. You know, guys are learning a new system under Jeremy Colleton coming in, and Seth Jones is again one of those guys trying to figure things out. So it's funny to say that the guy who's second on the team in points so far through 6 games has been atrocious, but he has been. And it's, you know, I like to believe that he has played, you know, he has played at a high level before. We've seen that. But we haven't seen it, you know, at recent enough to believe that, you know, a quick turnaround is coming. So hopefully, you know, hopefully the team can start to find some chemistry here and turn things around. But yeah, it's been bad, and knowing the contract that he signed coming over here, the extension, it's not a good feeling.
Mike wants to know, in your opinion, how far away is Chicago from a cup run?
Very far.
Very far.
I mean, if these you know, six games with a new look to the team that was supposed to be on the cusp of battling for, you know, a playoff position. Some people had them finishing, you know, in a wild card spot or even in, you know, the top, somewhere in the top three of the Central. For them to come out this flat and be, you know, just look this bad, it doesn't look like it's going in the right direction. And I think, you know, the investigation obviously loomed over the team, probably both on the ice and off the ice. I think getting some resolution with that and maybe be able to move forward a little bit within that story can help the team maybe move on in their minds as well. Obviously now the you know, now that Stan Bowman has left the team, the next target I think for fans is Jeremy Colleton. And if they don't turn things around soon, I think he might be the next one to be out the door. And I think we've seen enough of him as a coach. The talking point continues to be, well, he hasn't had a full off season. He hasn't had a full regular season, you know, all these things. He's coached over 200 NHL games. We know who he is as a coach now. And I think it's pretty evident that it's just not good enough. I think the Blackhawks roster is too talented to be playing this badly. So I think things need to change before we actually talk seriously about this team being contenders for anything more than a playoff appearance.
Now, from my opinion, and we don't have to get into it, there's so many things we could have dove into. You know, the whole Colleton situation, I do think that could be a mess. I just don't know if there's a suitable replacement for him at this time. But also, the Blackhawks are kind of a team, and we saw it firsthand up here in Edmonton when you got into the bubble, right? Is that if Chicago gets into the playoffs, I could see them making a sneaky run. I don't know. They just seem to have some of those guys. Rando says the Blackhawks are their own worst enemy. Mike says, good point on the distraction, Mario. I got one last one for you, and it's because he's a NORPAC guy. What's your thoughts on Tyler Johnson so far this year? I mean, hey, friend of the show, awesome guy, but what's your thoughts on him? I mean, be brutally honest here with me. You think he's going to take another step forward in his career? Does he have a chance to go back to where he was playing when he was with Tampa in the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, I've liked what I've seen from Tyler Johnson so far. You know, he's been kind of thrust into a more prominent role with this team than he was in Tampa, just because Tampa's, you know, just got so deep with talent that, you know, Johnson, after he had a few breakout seasons early on, kind of got knocked down the lineup a little bit. But I've liked what I've seen from him so far. I think, you know, his experience with Tampa, playing, you know, so many meaningful games, playing with so many, you know, great players and in a winning atmosphere, I think for this Blackhawks team is good to have him on. And yeah, I like his versatility. I like his work ethic. And I think he's able to play around the lineup, which is something, you know, that versatility, I think, is something that, you know, every team likes to have. So I would love to see him, you know, get more, get back to a little bit of the level that he used to have, or that he showed early on in his career. And I think he has an opportunity in Chicago to do that because of the, you know, the difference in lineup. So yeah, I've liked it so far.
Mario, I've taken way more of your time than I promised I would. Thank you so much, man. We're going to have to connect down the road. You were awesome. Thanks again though.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Mario Tirabassi right there from Bleacher Nation, my guest on World Hockey Report. Some interesting thoughts on the Chicago Blackhawks. Now, I want to know yours. Join the conversation, because I guarantee you, I know we are. We're going to get into it with our next guest, Matt Nate from the Centennial Podcast. He's going to join, and I know he's got thoughts. If you follow him on Twitter at Matt Nate, the spicy takes are there. And we are going to dive into it. I want to know your thoughts as well. Rando, your SPHL rankings, those aren't lost. We'll get to those. But I'm going to play this Duncan Keith clip for you. Well, you know, he's talking to the media earlier today, and this was his comment on not knowing, you know, about the situation, to be frank.
I didn't know anything. my time at the, you know, in those playoffs, you know, thinking back, my whole focus was right in the moment, doing what we had to do as a team, as a group, and as one of the leaders on that team. We had many leaders, and our focus was trying to win hockey games and win in the playoffs. And I know there was talk that, you know, players knew, and maybe some guys did know, but not everybody knew. And, you know, maybe that's hard for people to understand, but you know, that's the truth. Not everybody knew, and I didn't know that was happening, and that those things happened to that person.
Obviously, everyone's got their own truths, and that's Duncan Keith right there. Here's a snippet from an interview from TSN. I believe it was Rick Westhead who did it. I mean, great job. You got to tip your hat to him. You got to tip your hat to Katie Strang, all of those who do the digging here. I mean, that's just real journalism down to the core. Brent Sopel played 22 games for the Hawks during that 2010 run, said the Blackhawks locker room was abuzz with discussion about Aldrick during the 2010 Western Conference Finals. After them, skills coach Paul Vincent asked Blackhawks management during a meeting in San Jose to report Aldrick's alleged sexual assault of two players that season to police. And he said, I'd say pretty much every player said holy shit and was shocked by it. We were all in the same dressing room. It was something that was discussed for at least 2 or 3 days. Then head coach Joel Quenneville was in the same office as Aldrick. We heard about it. That's from Sopel. He was on the team. Again, everyone's going to have different recollections. It's 11 years ago now. But end of the day, I think the truth, you know, when it comes off, when the heads roll that are appropriate for it, if it's players, if it's management, you just hope that those people are held accountable, because that's what we need to do. That's how you're going to make hockey a better place. That's how you're going to make pro sports a better place, is to hold them accountable. And if Quenneville's lying, if Cheveldayoff's lying, if Bergevin had any involvement in it, you got to hold them accountable. Until then, things are going to stay the same. We're going to dive into it with Matt Nafe, though, next. He's off of the Centennial Podcast. And yes, we are going to talk Hawks, but there's also going to be some fun stuff. We'll talk goalie gear, everything else. He's coming up next. It's World Hockey Report. I'm Cody Jansen, and we're presented by Lordco Auto Parts.
World Hockey Report is partnering with Sports Travel Tours to bring you some incredible trips to watch hockey around the world. Sports Travel Tours has been creating hockey trips and tours since 1998. They've sent customers to the Winter Olympics, World Championships, every team in the NHL, as well as the KHL in Russia. And now, for the first time, they've been appointed official tour supplier to the Spengler Cup in Switzerland. As you all know, the Spengler Cup is the world's oldest invitational hockey tournament, set in the stunning mountains of Davos. It's also the best way to spend the time in between Christmas and New Year's. So, cheer on Team Canada in Davos this year with Sports Travel Tours exclusive packages. For information and to book, go to sportstraveltours.com. That's sportstraveltours.com. And sign up to get exclusive discounts and trip priority.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
Final segment on this Wednesday, October 27th. It's Cody Jansen, World Hockey Report, presented by Lordco Auto Parts. Find a store near you at lordco.com. We're coming to you live from the Pro Rock Broadcast Studios in beautiful Alberta. Follow me on Twitter at Janner31_ and the show at World Hockey RPT. You can join the conversation anytime if you have questions for our next guest. Matt Nay from the Centennial Podcast joins us. And again, I think we're kind of past the point of asking, should Quenneville be coaching tonight? Everyone in their right mind is going to say no. But Matt, what I want to know from you is, why do you think Gary Bettman wouldn't have that meeting with him today? Like, there's no way he had something that's a bigger priority than meeting with Joel Quenneville today. Why do you think this got pushed off? Is this a Gary Bettman scared to have the meeting? Do you think there actually was something came up where he couldn't have the meeting tomorrow, or what?
Well, I mean, I guess maybe it just comes down to Gary saying, oh, he has a game tonight, so we can put it off, you know?
That's a piss-poor reasoning.
I completely agree. I think right from the get-go, as we've seen, the NHL has mishandled this really, like to the nth degree. It's terrible. And... you know, to fine the Blackhawks only $2 million is atrocious. And it just kind of, you know, sets the expectations for, you know, why he's coaching tonight and why he's putting this meeting off. I mean, Cheveldayoff and Quenneville both lied about knowing. And, you know, Quenneville was asked about it today and stuck by his guns that he only learned about it this summer, even though in the report, like a legal report, it says that he was in the room when they found out. So he just keeps digging himself a bigger hole. It's a bummer because, like, I did like Quenneville up until yesterday. You know, to put a championship above the well-being of one of your players is despicable to me. And you know, Quenneville you know, signed off on one of his employee review forms. You know, he said he was an integral part of the, you know, the machine and all that, and signed off on it. But that was after the season was done, so he still knew about it. And you know, nothing was said. And then, but I mean, if we're looking at how things have been handled, look at what Stan Bowman did. You know, he gave one of the most, like, cop out statements I've ever seen, basically blaming his superior when, like, to me, the buck stops at him. But, you know, that's why he doesn't, the guy has no backbone. He'll never work another day in hockey, and odds are Quenneville and Cheveldayoff's days are numbered.
I think that's that's a fair statement. Now, you brought up the fine, and this is something I haven't dove into, so I did want to get your thoughts on it as well. I agree, $2 million is a joke. It's a drop in the bucket to an NHL team, to a bunch of billionaires. What would have been an appropriate fine, or is there an appropriate fine? And here, I'm just going to throw something at you. Would a Blackhawks fine / donation of $10 million to a sexual assault foundation that helps people who are sexually assaulted, would that have been considered acceptable? Where do you draw the line? Because honestly, that's a question I'm interested in hearing your answer on.
It's definitely hard to quantify something like this, because you can't put a price on the detriment of a situation like this causing somebody. You know, we saw with the Arizona Coyotes, they got fined at, you know, however much that was. I think it was a draft pick for working out NHL players. NHL prospects. I just wanted to check and see what the Houston Astros got for cheating. And they got, you know, $5 million, as well as their first and second round draft picks in both 2020 and 2021. I think on the hockey operations side, that would have been a good start. I think anybody who knew about that situation should probably have their name off the Stanley Cup for that year. Like,
should.
Absolutely. You know, I think $10 million is also a good start. And then subsequent years since then, I'd probably say, you know, $2 million a year, for however long this has been covered up. So that's what, 11 years. So I don't know if there's a bigger black mark in hockey other than yesterday. That was the biggest cover up / detriment you'll see to the NHL. And I think one of the things that needs to be remembered is Bill Guerin is also under investigation for covering up sexual assault in the Pittsburgh organization. And if more than just him knew about it, oh boy.
I think the one with Bill Guerin, and sorry for cutting you off here, but I do believe in, I was talking with someone from Minnesota about this yesterday. I should remember this, but I believe that actually went through court and they pretty much said that Bill Guerin took the appropriate steps. Now, don't quote me on that verbatim, but I know he is being still investigated. I believe there was new details that came out or something like that, which is why they reopened it. But I believe the first time around he was cleared.
Okay.
Well, that's what I think. But no, I agree. Still, hey, if you're under investigation, not a chance. You should be coaching the American team. You shouldn't be behind, or involved with an NHL team. No, if you're under investigation, there is no better time for a suspension or leave of absence. That's when that should be used.
Yep. And the NHL does not come down hard and hasn't come down hard enough on this sort of stuff. An owner of the LA Clippers made racist remarks and was forced to sell his NBA team. That is the proper way of going about things.
Yep.
You had a coach sexually assault a player under your noses and the NHL slaps you with a $2 million fine. That's pathetic. It's a joke. And I hope we see more survivors coming out and telling their story, because somebody was able and strong enough, or not, I don't think strong enough is the right word, but felt comfortable enough to come forward with their story. And it's a monumental loss for the league lost here. And they, they're going to have to do a lot to fix this.
Well said. Okay. I got one last one for you on this. So, and everyone's got their own story. I fully know that. Sopel's got his version of it. Duncan Keith has got his version of it. I'm sure Taves, Kane, Seabrook, anyone who's been a part of their organization has their own story, their own version of it. But Matt, and this can be a simple question, or you can go into detail if you want, but if it's found out that players on this team knew about it, and I don't know what appropriate steps would be, but let's just say they didn't take appropriate steps, what should happen with them? Do they, is suspended for a year enough, or should they never play again in the NHL? I want to know your opinion.
It's obviously a hard question. If they knew about it, and didn't take action,
So what would be appropriate action then? Is that bringing it to your superiors? No. Is that bringing it to Stan Bowman?
Oh, I don't even think, I do remember hearing, guys like Sopel did bring it to from what I understand, I think it was Jim Gray or Gary, whoever, whatever his last name is. Jim Gary, sorry. And he was the mental health coach, I guess, or something to that effect. And, he said he would take it somewhere and nothing came of it. If players just swept it under the rug and just were okay with that, I don't hate the idea of them being suspended for a year.
I agree. I think that's fair. And I appreciate you saying that and diving into it, because I also think that the NHL, that if players knew about it, you have to look into it a little bit deeper. It's not just, they knew about it, they should be suspended for life immediately. It's no, what steps did they take? Who was the one, who were the guys making, insensitive comments, homophobic comments towards that player?
Yeah.
Because if you find out that's when you can say, okay, get out of the league. We don't need you here. We're a better place without you. That's the extra investigation, but obviously it has to come a lot quicker. I mean, the way the NHL has been sitting on this, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of sickening that it has taken this long. And the fact that Duncan Keith said that he wasn't interviewed as a part of the process, that raises some red flags to me. But again, I think time will tell. It's going to come out in due time. I really believe that. I really hope, you know, we get some answers. And for those affected, like John Doe, like, and there's, I guarantee you, there's more people who are affected. I can sit here and confidently say that there's definitely more to the story than we will ever know. I can guarantee you that. So we do hope that everyone can find peace with that. Matt, you're a goalie guy. We got to have some fun here for the last 5 minutes. We got to switch it up a little bit. Can we talk about, oh man, this is a terrible one, because I was just going to ask you about Marc-Andre Fleury, and because he's on Chicago, but can we just strictly from a gear perspective, is it time we ditch this brown gear? I'm so sick of seeing brown goalie gear. Like, it was cool for like an outdoor classic, but now get rid of it. Right. Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
It's really funny because I have like retro tan gear.
Oh, I know. But like, I'm so sick of it, Matt. This is a 2-year fad. We can't be doing this every year.
I love it. I think it's awesome because it matches everything. Like, it goes really well with any jersey you're wearing. I mean, I like it a whole hell of a lot better than white. That's for sure.
Did you see Anton Khudobin's setup that he's rocking for those thirds?
Oh. I mean, like, I remember tweeting from the Centennial account, like, this is what Matt Murray should be doing. Yes. And he had some filthy setups with the Penguins, like going all black with a nice, like, 2-yellow streak on his SLR2s. Like, they looked great. But now it's boring in his new true gear. But, you know, Forsberg and Gustafson both have really excellent gear. I think there's a lot of really awesome gear nerds in the show right now. I really like Drieger's pads in Seattle. Those are really, really nice.
Can we talk about Mike Smith's dark blues with the orange stripe? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's hot.
I think, like, he's an old guy now. He's like, I'm just going to do whatever I want with him. And I appreciate that. I know there was that study a couple years ago from an Ottawa psychologist or something like that, saying, you know, white pads throw off the shooter because they can't discern the pads from the ice. And I think that's bull crap.
It's literally been like, ask an actual player if they really give a shit what color gear the goalie's wearing. None of them care.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think have fun with your gear. That's why you have it, right? Like, to make saves and look good doing it.
Speaking of gear and looking good, I know Player Skates have kind of got into this, and shout out to the Skate Skins guys because they got cool stuff. Do you think we're going to start to see players go a little bit more all out? Like, I'm not talking about like custom painted player buckets, although that would be outrageous, but like, do you think players are going to start being a little unique with what they're doing? Like, they've always had different stick colors, like Pavelski always using a white stick, Marty St. Louis always using a yellow stick. What do you think, players might start doing that with skates? Do you think they're going to get a little creative and be like, man, I want to showcase myself?
Yeah, I hope so. I think having originality in the league is always a good thing. I know in the NFL, some cleats will get custom done, and then the NFL
makes
them not wear them and stuff like that.
Scumbags.
But I think if you have an outlet like that, why not use it? Especially, like, who is it affecting? You know, so I'm all for players showing some creativity with their gear.
I think that's a fair one. Alrighty, Matt, man, I got to wrap things up here. We got a minute. You're the best. I appreciate you hopping on here. We'll have to dive into the Sens and Brady Tkachuk maybe once they win a game or two, right? Maybe once we'll do that. No, man, awesome. Appreciate you so much.
Hey, anytime. Love the show. Love you, man.
Go Oilers, right?
Yeah, I can come on again.
You're the best. Right there, Matt Nay from the Centennial Podcast joining me on World Hockey Report. Quick, I'm going to get to this Duncan Keith one here, and it's just on the situation, but also this is breaking. Gary Bettman, he's going to be meeting with Kevin Cheveldayoff on Monday. Again, that's too long. That's too long. That's almost a week away. That's embarrassing on the timeline standard. Okay, we don't actually have time for this last Duncan Keith one, but essentially, Duncan Keith kind of came out and said, hey, you know, I feel for them, but honestly, he doesn't know who John Doe is in this situation. So believe him or not, I think the truth will come out at one point in time. Huge thanks to our guests, though, today. Zach Medeiros, Mario Tirabassi, and Matt Neef. Bleacher Report, Centennial Podcast, and of course, Medeiros is a Grey Cup champ. He'll let you know that a few times. Oilers, Flyers, tonight, 8 o'clock, Rogers Place. Go check it out if you can. Support the Oilers if you're in the region. The Calgary Flames, we didn't talk about them too much, but tomorrow we are going to dive into it as well. Rob Reese is going to come on. Let's talk fantasy hockey. How's your team looking? Fantasy Hockey Talk, that is coming up tomorrow, and the open line. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation. All that gets underway tomorrow. Same time, same place. Huge thanks to everyone who makes this show possible. The Hockey Podcast Network, where you can download the pod on Lordco Auto Parts, DraftKings, use promo code THPN, Sports Travel Tours, and Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. I'm Cody Jansen. Until next week. I guess tomorrow. Not next week yet. It's not Thursday. Everyone be kind. Be better.